I want to talk today. I'm going to finish our series on Jeremiah. And if you're following, if you're new to our church, we've been going through Jeremiah the last few weeks. And we've also got a sheet. It's like a sheet you can pick up just to follow up afterwards on what's been said. And you can follow a little bit of what's been shared today in the PowerPoint notes. If you want those, just encourage you to go to elam.family/Sunday notes. You can scan the barcode, or there's some printed out sheets at the back, just to take this a bit further. But today I want to talk about the subject of amidst life's chaos, how can I find God's clarity? Amidst life's chaos, how can I find God's clarity? You know, life would be so easy if there weren't so many decisions that we had to make. Isn't that right? Some of you know this in work and situations. If you're a parent, if you're a manager, if you're a leader, if you're just a human being, you'll know some days you've got to make decision after decision after decision. And there's actually a term that's called decision fatigue. It means that you just can't do it anymore. And Naomi and myself, we had about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we both had a situation where we were both in our workplaces and we both just had to make decisions, decisions, decisions. You know when you have to do different things and everyone comes up to you and they say, what do you think about this? What do you think? And sometimes you go, I haven't got a clue what the answer is. And we got home. And after a busy week and crazy week, and we sat down and we went to write, we plan our meals out for the week. And we went to write the meal list out for the week. And we looked at each other and we both went, I can't even make a decision how to do the meals now. We've made so many decisions over the past week that even planning the meals felt hard. Has anyone ever felt like that? Some of you have. If you haven't, I want your life. If you haven't, I want your life, okay? Brilliant. On top of that, sometimes for us, we've got all these decisions to make. And then if you want to live a God-honoring life, you've then got to make other decisions that line up with what God says as well. And sometimes it just seems to get harder and harder to make decisions in a godly way in a world that we live in. And it seems to be harder and harder in our world, especially in the last 5 years, when everything gets crazier and crazier, doesn't it? Just when you think things aren't going to get any more crazy in the world, they do. And you say, I remember I joked with Naomi 5 years ago. Well, no, it was more than that now, but 8 years ago. I said, just imagine if we ever did end up with Theresa May or Boris Johnson as prime ministers and Donald Trump was president in the United States. I said, wouldn't that be a crazy world? That happened soon afterwards. And every time I say, wouldn't it be a crazy world if this person became prime minister? I'm not even going to mention names anymore because I don't want to be prophetic. Okay. The world's crazy. And in the middle of all of this, we're trying to live Christian lives. And we're trying to work out, what's God saying to us? What direction is God giving us? Now, I just want to start now by saying, I'm not one of those Christians who has to pray about absolutely every little decision. I've met some of you. I know you pray about what breakfast cereal you eat in the morning, okay? Some of you pray about how much petrol you put in your car, all that stuff. I'm not one of those. But at the same time, I want to follow God honorably in my life. I want God to give me direction in my life and to be in the, live the destiny that God has called me to live. And the only way I'm going to do that is if I hear the voice of God, is if I listen to God's voice. And today I want to talk just about Jeremiah and a little story that Jeremiah did that some of you will know about, some of you won't know about. A little significant story in Jeremiah 32. But I want to just look at what Jeremiah did and what lessons we can learn from that today. So just to put it into context, I want to set the scene for the story of Jeremiah here. So Jeremiah, he was a prophet in Judah, which is South Israel, where Jerusalem was. Really bad stuff was happening. They were worshipping idols. They were sacrificing children. They were being corrupt. They were persecuting the poor, just to name a few things. And God gave them loads of warnings. And they didn't listen to any of God's warnings. And eventually God says, enough is enough. And he allows their enemies to come in and to capture them. And this is Babylon. This Babylonians came in. And when the Babylonians came in, they knew how to bring destruction. Some of you would have looked at scenes this morning and seen pictures of what's happening in Gaza at the moment. That would be appropriate description of what was happening in Jerusalem at the time of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah 52, verses 12 and 13, it describes this. It says, on the 10th day of the 5th month in the 19th year, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, King of Babylon, some other guy's name I can't pronounce, the commander of the imperial guard who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palaces, and the houses of Jerusalem. To every important building, he burnt down. Jerusalem was reduced to ruins. And as well as this, they shared last week, they took away the brightest and the best to Babylon as captives. This was a war zone where Jeremiah was finding himself in. This was destruction everywhere. If you read Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, it describes the scenes of destruction that were there. And in the midst of this, something strange happens. In the midst of this, we have Jeremiah chapter 32 comes in. And I'd encourage you to read this later for yourself. But it contains the story of Jeremiah's purchase of a field in his hometown of Anathoth. During a time when the city of Jerusalem was under siege from the Babylonians. And God says to him, Jeremiah, I want you to go and I want you to buy a field. Now, there's significance in this field because the reason God wanted Jeremiah to buy this field was God wanted Jeremiah to show that there was hope, that although there was destruction in the world that they were facing, that he was still going to do something in the future. That the end wasn't completely there. There was something hope. It was Jeremiah sowing into God's plan. So if you're following in your Bible, can you turn with me to Jeremiah 32? I'd encourage you to follow in your Bibles, whether you put it on your phone or whatever else, because I could be talking from the Quran, and you'd never know, okay, unless you're reading it. I talked about a Bible study. I may have shared this recently. But one prayer meeting I was in, remember the day, we had this guy turn up, and he started quoting something to me. Something 13 to me, and I kept going, I was like, this doesn't make sense. And I just sort of ignored him. And when I got home, I went and I pulled out a Quran that I had next to my desk. And I realized he was quoting the Quran, okay, during the prayer meeting. So be careful, always read your Bible. You'd soon find out what they're actually saying. So what it says, Jeremiah 32, verses 6 to 9. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me. Hanan, son of Shalom, your uncle, is going to come to you and say, buy my field in Anathoth, because as a near relative, it is your right and duty to buy it. Then just as the Lord had said that, my cousin Hanil came to me in the courtyard of the guards and said, buy my field at Anath in the territory of Benjamin, since it is your right to redeem it and possess it. Buy it for yourself. Will you notice something here as we start reading this bit? God spoke to Jeremiah, then God confirmed what he'd spoken to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah wasn't being crazy. He was a little bit crazy at times. If you read the story of Jeremiah, he did some crazy things. But he wasn't crazy in thinking that God was going to get him to buy a field. See, Jeremiah's decision to buy this field, God's wanting him to buy this, wasn't just a random act, but it was a powerful symbol of God's unwavering faith and Jeremiah's unwavering faith and trust in God's promise that Israel is going to be restored. Amen. Imagine being in a war-torn city. Imagine if you're in Gaza right now, and I'm going to use or Kabul right now. And imagine God says to you, I want you to invest and I want you to buy land here. It's not the place you buy land, is it? It's not what you do. It doesn't make sense rationally to buy here because in this stage, Israel and Judah, they were has-beens. They were finished. They were the back end of nowhere. It's not a place you want to invest. But God wanted him to do this because God had a hope and a future for Israel. God had a hope and a future for the land of Judah. God knew he was going to return them. And so when God spoke to Jeremiah to do something which didn't quite make sense, God then confirmed it. And then Jeremiah did it. And there's something amazing here, that when ordinary men and women listen to God, and God vindicates them, sometimes in Jeremiah's case, it took a long time, that God can do incredible things through you. Amen. If you listen to him, if he confirms it, and then if you act. You know, when Maria comes up today and comes and asks us to pray for Andy, I really encourage you, please keep praying for him this week. It's an act of faith. And when God calls you to do an act of faith, I believe God does something amazing in response to your faith. And I just want to give us three things today just to take away. Is that okay? I won't be too long, I promise you. It's three things today that I believe we can learn from this story when Jeremiah was asked to buy a field, but what we can learn about for our own lives. The first thing is this. We need to listen. Say to the person next to you, you need to listen. Especially if they're just falling asleep, tell them that. Okay. This is going to sound really, 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 really obvious to you guys today, okay? But we need to listen. If we want to live in God's plan and get direction as Christians, we need to listen. Really obvious. We need to listen. We need to listen to God. Let's be honest. A lot of us, especially if you're male, okay, we're rubbish at listening. So often we hear what we want to hear and not actually what's being said. Yeah, let's be honestly, sometimes we do this and we go there. I had a brother and one of his ex-partners used to get mad. He said every time he starts to speak, he falls asleep. I said, it's called being alone. Okay. There have been so many times, I know for myself, when I have been distracted, when I've misheard something because I've been distracted. There's also been times when I misunderstood what someone else has said because I've already made a pre-decided decision before they've even spoken. There's certain issues. If you start telling me about how great your football club is, I'm not going to say it's a load of rubbish, okay? Because I know what club I really think are the best team in the world, okay? Sometimes you have preconceived ideas. There's also times when someone can make a really valid argument to you, but you've got such a fixed mindset that you're not open to anything that they have to say. Isn't that true? Especially the older we get, the more fixed we get. It can be easy to dismiss what someone else says before they even say it because it's not what you want to hear. Now I want to say something else here. It's easy for you to dismiss what God has to say to you because it's not what you want to hear. We've got just as fixed a mindset with God as we do with other people sometimes. And when we come to God, we need to come to God, say, God, speak to me. But we also need to come with the attitude of saying, God, I want to listen to you. I don't just want you to do things my way. Notice when Jeremiah comes before God here, he says he listens to God and God then confirms. But if you look to the next chapter, to Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 2 to 3, one of the most famous verses in the book of Jeremiah, it says this. This is what the Lord said. He who made the heavens and earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me and I will answer you. I'll tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Now, there's something really significant about that. Is if you want God to tell you exactly what you want to hear, he can't tell you the stuff that you don't know. And the only way you're going to discover the stuff that you don't know is if you listen to God. It's obvious, isn't it? Yeah, but how many of us go, God, I want you to do it this way. If you don't do it this way, you don't love me. None of you guys, because you guys are really good Christians, okay? Just me sometimes. I'll repent. The only way you'll discover what God has to say to you is by saying, God, please speak to me. And by being intentional to listen to him. So important. We need to be prepared to listen. Some of you guys will know this story. Some of you might not, but write it down. Check it out later. There's a story in the book of 2 Kings. Chapter 5. And there was a king called Naaman, who was a mighty Syrian commander. And he's afflicted with leprosy. And this young Israelite girl says, go and see the prophet Elisha. He will sort you out. So he goes to the prophet Elisha. Prophet Elisha tells him to dip in the water and river of the river Jordan. And Naaman goes, no, you don't understand. I want you to heal me. Elisha goes, you don't understand. God says, go and dip in the water. And Naaman goes, no, that's not what I want to do it. And Elisha goes, well, basically, if you don't do that, you're not going to get healed. So in the end, Naaman goes and dips in the water. And what happens? He's healed. He did things the way God wanted, not the way he wanted. So the first thing we need to do as Christians is this. We need to listen to God. Say to the person next to you again, listen to God. The next thing we need, this is really, really important, okay? Because you need to listen to God. You also, we need discernment. Say to the person next to you, we need discernment. We really need discernment. My mentor years ago, he said to me, Jim, he said the biggest thing that we're going to need in the church in the next 20, 30 years, he said, is discernment. He said, we don't need any more power and other stuff. I think we do, but I disagree there. But he said, the biggest thing we need is discernment. We need to know what God really says. So Jeremiah, God speaks to him because he's listening. And then God confirms with him what has been said. He double checks it. His cousin comes up and says exactly the same thing again. And so Jeremiah knows that he needs to listen. And then God has spoken twice because he discerned what God had said. God had said to him that his cousin was going to come and approach him. His cousin came and approached him. You know, sometimes before we act, when we feel God has spoken, we need to pray that God confirms what he has to say. It's not that you've got lack of faith if you ask God to confirm it. It just means you've got a brain in your head, okay? Sometimes we say, oh, just you need more faith and step out. Actually, sometimes I think we need more discernment in life. You know, we live in a world where we have three enemies. We have ourselves, we have the world, and we have the devil. And as much as we try and listen to God, at times, those three things can also tell us things that maybe we want to hear, and maybe say stuff that actually God is not saying, can be confused with God. First, the world. If the world is influencing us, and our culture is influencing us, we have to ask, when we think God is speaking, does what God say match what I feel God is saying? Does it match up with the Bible? Because God's not going to say anything to you that doesn't match up with the Bible. Secondly, it could be you. You might be telling you that God wants you to marry, I don't know, Miss UK 2015, okay, whatever it is. But God might not have told her, okay. And if you're a bloke, you might be going, well, actually, it's not God that's telling you to marry that girl. It's your own feelings and your own chemicals that are going through your body that's saying, she's pretty nice, I wouldn't mind marrying her. Okay, you have to realize what's you. Or sometimes you're also going to have desires. Some of you, God may want you to do something. You want to do something different. And you look for everything that does what you want to do, not what God wants you to do. That's yourself that's the enemy. And you need to evaluate it and say, is this me, really, or is this God? Got to be careful because pride is a really dangerous thing. And the third thing is the devil. The devil can try and confuse you when you listen to God. And sometimes it's really hard when you're trying to work out, oh, is Satan speaking or is it God speaking? What's going on? And I heard a great quote yesterday, or a few days ago when I was doing my exercises. It was by a pastor called Ken Shigematsu. I'm going to get people with English names, and no, I'm joking. Okay, for reading out soon. Because I'm getting rubbish at reading out names. And my wife's going to shout at me afterwards for being appropriate. But he said this. Listen to this, not what else I said. He says this. God's voice tends to reassure you. Satan's voice tends to frighten you. God's voice tends to enlighten you. Satan's voice tends to confuse you. God's voice tends to encourage you. Satan's voice tends to discourage you. God's voice tends to comfort you. Satan's voice tends to worry you. God's voice tends to calm you. Satan's voice tends to obsess you. That's good, isn't it? I wish I came up with that. I like this idea. We need to be cautious because sometimes we can take it to extremes, but I think that's good. And we need to be careful that we listen to God's voice, not the world's voice, not Satan's voice, not our own voice, but actually God's voice. We also need to be careful because sometimes God may want to stretch us further, but our own fears stop us going where God wants us to be. And we can say, oh, I shouldn't do because I'm scared of Satan's voice. No, it's not. God wants to stretch you. You know, discerning God's voice from other influences can be challenging. Let's say you're facing a major decision in your career. You're offered two job opportunities. One offers you financial security and prestige. The other involves following your passions, but comes with some uncertainty. You might hear conflicting thoughts, I should choose a safer option because it's practical. Or I feel a deep sense of purpose because I want to go risk, take the riskier choice. God's voice will reassure you and encourage you. But sometimes God's voice might call you to step out your comfort zone and do something a bit different to what you expected. I want to encourage you guys. Listen to what God says, but also discern whether it is actually from God or not. The last thing, coming into land, we need to act. So say to the person next to you, we need to act. If you're not doing it, you need to act, okay? Really, I mean it. We need to act. Okay, here we are. This is coming into land now. You see, Jeremiah listened to God about buying a field. He discerned whether it was God's voice or not through the confirmation of his cousin coming to him. And then he went and he bought the field. Okay, it was a sign that better days were going to come. It was a prophetic sign that Jeremiah did here. And I believe we need to act after God has spoken. You know what? Just maybe you guys can be my therapist for a moment. But I have really big issues in life. It's when people say they want to do something and they don't do it. So if you guys have been talking about changing your job for the last 25 years and you come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm still thinking of changing my job. Secretly inside me, I want to slap you in the name of Jesus, okay? Because I want to say, just get and do it. Because sometimes it frustrates me. You know what people say to me? Oh, I want to move house. I need to move house. And I say to them, have you put your house in the market? No. I say, well, what if you're not going to move house if you don't put your house in the market? Or if people say to me, I'm going to move house. I say, well, I've got a really good mortgage advisor. I can give you the information. Oh, we're nowhere near that. 3 years later, oh, we need to move house. Okay, let's do it. Do we need to do it? And you're like, no, I'm going to do it. And the jobs. And you know those people I'm talking about? It might be you, okay? If it's you, okay, slap yourself right now. It's really frustrating. Because me and Naomi, I said, Naomi knows I'm like this actually at home as well. It's something inside me, okay, that drives. And I said, you know what? If you're called to move somewhere else, you're called to do something else, it might be God talking to you and you're just constantly ignoring him. You know, when we saw a house that we liked, we went on the queue and I prayed. I said, God, if it's your will, we'll have the house. If it's not, shut the door. So what did I do? I emailed the estate agent and the estate agent phoned me back and said, you're number 20 in the list. You've got no chance. He said, is your house on the market? I said, no, my house is not on the market. He went, well, not looking good for you. I said, come out and value my house anyway. He came out and valued my house. I went to look at my house. I put an offer in. They said, you know what? We'll accept the offer, but you need to sell your house. And we've got so many more people coming to look at the house. I said, okay. I said, still put my house in the market. I ended up moving into the house. Why? Kept praying about it because God made a way. But God, it's easier for God to move a rolling stone than it is to stone that is static. I'm only giving one example of my life because this is my personality. Pray for my wife. Okay. Guys, stop procrastinating. Stop talking about what God wants to do. I love when Faith's birthday, when they spoke about Faith and her friend said she wanted to do a charity. She went and did a charity in Zimbabwe, just went and did it. Sometimes you've just got to listen to God. When he confirms it, do it. Don't wait for the perfect time because the perfect time may never come. And then when the perfect time comes, you will always have disasters. You will always have struggles. There will always be issues in your life. There will never be a time when it will be perfect. But if God's called you to do it, let's do it. Do you know what really astounds me sometimes? Is in the West, I think for each person who becomes a Christian, the church spends hundreds of thousands of pounds. In Africa, the average cost the church spends for per person becoming a Christian is $5. Why? Because they don't just wait for the right time to tell their friends about Jesus. They take every opportunity they have. They go for it. And I really want to encourage us. Guys, let's be people who don't just talk about it, but actually act on what God has to say. It's going to start with us listening to God. It's going to start with then have us discerning God's will. But we then need to act. We then need to do it. You know, it was my birthday a couple of weeks ago. And I got a birthday present. And one of my birthday presents is a Lego, unsurprisingly. By that evening, I'd opened the present and I'd built my Lego man. It was stunning, okay? It was amazing. I opened it up and I got it sorted. I looked under the sofa and my daughter still has a Lego set from 3 months ago she hasn't built. Don't be that person. Do not be that person. do what God is calling you to do. I'm coming into land, I promise you now, then we're going to pray. I believe that God wants to give you a hope. I believe that God wants to give you a beautiful future. But the way it's going to start is by listening to Him. It's by listening. You may not always see the path that He has ahead of you. At times it may feel uncertain and it may feel daunting. But we need to remember that the first step leads to the second step, that leads to the third step. And God, if you keep following Him, He might take you through twists and through turns in your journey. But as you trust God, He will keep guiding you to the destination that He wants you to go on. Look at the Bible. Look at Noah. Look at Gideon. Look at Elijah. They all listened to God and had faith despite all of the odds. Noah built an ark when there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Gideon faced an overwhelming army with only 300 men. Elijah believed there was rain when there wasn't a drop in the sight. They all listened, they all discerned, they all acted, and God vindicated every single one of them. So I want to encourage you today as I come into close. If you're facing decisions today, whether they're big or small, seek God's guidance. Listen to His voice. Don't be afraid to take the first step. When you act on God's leading, you become part of His plan. As I've shared earlier, remember it's easier for God to share a rolling stone than it is a static one. When you take action, you set God's plan in motion. And today I want to encourage us. If you've got a decision to make, if you're feeling lost or uncertain, call out for God's guidance. Be ready to listen, to discern, and to act. God is speaking. Say to the person next to you, God is speaking. God wants to speak to you. The question is this. Do you want to listen? Can you ask the person next to you this question? Can you say, do you want to listen? Do you want to listen is my question today. Let's stand. I just want to pray for us. Is that, I just feel really need today to pray. Went off note slightly there, okay. Do you want to listen? Can we just close our eyes a moment? Just let's close our eyes and let's just focus on Him. Focus on God. There might be one or two of you today here, and you might have come to church. I don't know reasons why you come to church. But maybe you've been thinking about following Jesus. In your heart, it's been over and over again. It might have been 28 years, like Eileen shared earlier, their testimony. It could be like a few months when you've been with someone else who's become a Christian. It might be that you might have left home recently and now you want to take your faith seriously for yourself. And I want to encourage you today, if that's you, today is the day to act upon it. Today is the day to say to Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God who came to die for my sins. I believe that you made a way so I can have a relationship with God. I'm sorry for all the stuff that I've done in the past that hasn't been in line with what you wanted. But I want to come to you today. And if that's you and you want to choose to follow Jesus today, I'm going to ask Carol to put up a prayer for us on the stage, on the screen. If that's you, I want us, we're all going to pray this prayer together. But if you're praying this for the first time, I want you to come find me afterwards. Because I want to just give you a pack. It's not just information about what it means to live for Jesus. Well, I want two people just to have a chat with you. But if you want to give your heart to Jesus, I want you to say these words with me today. Let's pray this. Those of you who are Christians or you want to give your heart to Jesus, let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I admit that I've done wrong and I'm sorry. Please forgive me for all of my mistakes. I truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God who gave His life on the cross to forgive my sins. I offer my life to you and invite you into my heart so that I can be with you forever. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time today, you've given your life to Jesus. It's that simple. Isn't it crazy how simple Jesus makes it? And if that's you, I want you to come find me afterwards because we want to be able to talk with you, to pray with you. But I want to pray with another group of people for do any more today. Let's close our eyes again. Maybe you're facing a decision today. And there's been some stuff you're praying to, you've been asking God. Maybe when I made a joke about that stone that's still, or that person doesn't make a decision, you saying, that's me. That's me. You laughed, but you knew it's you. I want you to make a commitment with God right now. And say, God, today, I'm choosing to commit to listen to your voice. I'm choosing to commit to discern. I'm choosing to commit to act, to go where you lead me. Your own words between you and God right now. Say, God, please tell me things that I don't know.